This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with RotoWire.com. Get that RotoWire promo code VSiN to get 15% off any RotoWire product. Big show today. We're going to talk some golf. We got Len Hochberg joining us in the Progressive Guest Line. It's the Tour Championship Week. Final real tournament of the season, prior excepting the Ryder Cup, of course. So a lot of golf talk today. We're going to rate that prop, NFL and MLB props both. We're going to do our betting preview as we always do to close out. We got some live games going on right now in MLB. Three games already started, including a little bit from the Phillies and the Seattle Mariners. Phillies have won the first two games of the series. They're up 2-1. That is in the bottom of the third. Luis Castillo up against Jesus Luzardo in this one. Home run there from J-Rod there in this one there. He's up to 25 homers after a terrible start to the season. Pittsburgh up 2-1 on the Blue Jays. That's already in the bottom of the fifth. Finally, we got Detroit jumping all over Framber Valdez. 6-0 Tigers. That's in the third. They got all six runs in the first inning, five of them before an out was even recorded. Framber is still in there somehow. He's already thrown 48 pitches through two innings. We'll see how deep he can get into this game. Tigers did that without the benefit of a single home run in that one there. Just a lot of dinking and dunking, a couple of walks in there as well. Three walks from Framber. Uncharacteristically wild to start the show, start the game there. Nick, got a lot of news of the day here to talk about. Let's jump right into it. Talk a little bit about the Colts, because why not? We haven't talked enough about this Colts quarterback situation again. Richardson's agent's gone out there, talked about how the disappointment of the decision, unsure of the client's future at the club, et cetera, et cetera. Should we care?
Should we care? That's a great question. It depends on your level of interest, I think, in the future of Anthony Richardson. And I will tell you, I care. I'm invested. I want to see Anthony Richardson get another shot somewhere else. And it certainly feels like that's not going to be Indianapolis. You know, it's one thing to make this decision, you know, but something that I think went a little bit undercovered with this is that they didn't even take it through the third preseason game. You know, that tells you right. That this decision was made, I think, in their minds probably earlier than it was announced on Monday. You know, I think they had seen things behind the scenes, you know, the way that these guys have been practicing, the way that they've been preparing this offseason, because the play on the field to me has been relatively even. You know, Daniel Jones is completing like 53% of his passes in the preseason. He did not just grab this job and make it an easy decision for the Colts. And, you know, Richardson was Anthony Richardson, but he wasn't horrendous in the limited action that we saw from him in the preseason. So I think they are implying that Anthony Richardson's time, this experiment, is probably over in Indianapolis. And this is the exact reaction that I would expect. Like, if you're Anthony Richardson's agent, you're acting in the best interest of your client. And the best interest of Anthony Richardson right now is probably to get away from the Indianapolis Colts. And look, I think Richardson deserves a decent share of the blame for this. You know, I think the ideal scenario for the Colts, of course, was for Anthony Richardson to win this job. They, in theory, gave him every opportunity to do that. He didn't play well enough. They didn't see enough from him in order to hand him that job. But it sounds to me like the Colts are ready to cut their losses. The way they're talking about this, they don't want it to be week to week. They don't want this hanging over the season. Shane Steichen might be coaching for his job. Chris Ballard might be GMing job this season. So I think they're focused on trying to get to 8-9 wins, trying to make some noise in the AFC wildcard picture, and having a question mark hanging over you at quarterback is not the way to do that. So I think, you know, there's still a decent chance Anthony Richardson starts a game, starts multiple games for the Colts this season, because Daniel Jones could get hurt. He is Daniel Jones. I will remind you, he could just play himself out of this job at some point, but it really, really feels like the scenario is trending toward Anthony Richardson landing elsewhere at some point.
Yeah, I am pushing up Josh Downs a little bit in my ranks. I am, you know, I average pick for Downs has been around 100. I'm willing to take him around 85. I think he's a solution to the problem that we were talking a little bit about, maybe a quote unquote dead zone for wide receivers, starting with like Chris Olave, maybe even after that, Stephon Diggs, Deebo Samuel, Jordan Addison's in that range. Khalil Shakir already hurt. Juwan Jennings hurt. I think Downs is a little bit of an out for you there. If you miss out on Matthew Golden, you miss out on Jacoby Myers at the start of that tier. I think that's one option there for, I like Downs a little bit, maybe even Michael Pittman a little bit as well, as maybe possibilities there. You look at their kind of, you know, you look at their props, a couple of their interesting, you know, the wide receiver receiving yards props there. You can look at maybe kind of, I think there's maybe a little bit of an upside to Josh Downs and Michael Pittman there. You look at Downs in particular, you can find it over at Bet Rivers and Caesars at 700.5 receiving yards at Caesars. I like the over on that one, -115.5. I would go ahead and bet that there. I might do that when we're in Vegas this weekend for kickoff weekend for Radio Row at Circa.
He went over that number in 14 games last year. He went over that number as a rookie when he was still fighting for snaps. Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a fantasy spin here, I think this does probably slightly benefit someone like Josh Downs. You worry about the Alec Pierces of the world if you're playing in a very deep league, somebody who, you know, tended to be on the receiving end of a lot of those deep balls from Anthony Richardson. But that's the book with Daniel Jones, right? He's not a high touchdown producer at the quarterback position. He hasn't, you know, sniffed 20 touchdowns since his rookie year with the New York Giants, but relative to Anthony Richardson, he is the slightly safer option. He is the guy you trust making the easy throws at the very least. And he was somebody that, you know, produced an easy wide receiver one last year in fantasy with Malik Nabers. And I think to me, you know, Josh Downs is the guy that profiles the closest to Nabers. He's certainly not on that level in terms of the physicality and the talent of Malik Nabers, but yeah, if you're looking for somebody who's probably the least affected here, to me, it would be Josh Downs.
Let's talk a little Saints. They don't have a starting quarterback yet. Here we are. That's like basically the last team to decide. The Browns have even decided among their college of quarterbacks. But they're still down to narrowing it down between two quarterbacks, Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck. You know, we've been on the Saints a lot on this show talking about how they may have the worst roster in the NFL. I think this only speaks to that level of dysfunction.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that is using that third preseason game as an evaluation. And, you know, to me, that tells you that neither of these guys have really separated themselves. You know, Tyler Shuck has, you know, at least looked a little bit better than he did in the first preseason game. You know, you're starting to hear slightly more encouraging reports coming out of Saints camp, but I ultimately think they probably roll with Spencer Rattler, and we probably see both of these quarterbacks this season. You know, it really depends how resigned the Saints are to their fate, and it might not matter, right? I don't know if either of these guys you view as a, you know, high floor type of option. I think the closer we get to week one, Jeff, the more and more I view the Saints as the lowest floor, probably the worst roster in the NFL. So does it ultimately matter? I'm not really sure. You know, maybe in some ways you kind of owe it to yourself to use this as an evaluation period for Tyler Shuck, considering you did take him in the second round. But I think there is a very good chance that the Saints are once again shopping for a quarterback, you know, probably near the top, if not with the number one pick next year.
Yeah, they're tied for the lowest over under in wins at the DraftKings Sportsbook at 5.5, them and the Giants. Everybody else is at least one win over that there. In some places, the Browns are there as well. But in some places, you can find the Saints at 4.5 as their over under, and without it being an alt line, which is interesting there. At FanDuel, for instance, it's 4.5. It's -130 to the over on that, but +110 to the under 4.5, which is interesting as well there. So there, the low expectations exist there. They're always the last quarterbacks drafted, and for good reason. You know, it probably will be both quarterbacks at some point this season. And I'm not really thrilled about either option.
I don't know how you could be. I don't know how you could be. I've right. been dodging the Saints just overall in fantasy this season. You know, there's some appeal, I suppose, with Chris Olave. He's going late enough that, yeah, it's probably worth taking a flyer on him in some of your leagues. But it's hard for me to even convince myself of drafting Alvin Kamara. I've been taking someone like Chuba Hubbard over him more frequently, which says a lot, Jeff, because I don't really have a ton of faith in the Panthers offense, but I think it will be significantly better than what we're seeing in New Orleans. And, you know, if you're looking at those worst record markets, like I do think they're the worst team. They do have a pretty friendly part of that is, you know, playing in the NFC South. When you compare that to a team, you know, like the Giants, they play in a tough division. They have a really tough schedule overall. The Browns have a brutal schedule considering where last season. So, you know, maybe you at least take a cursory glance at that. But when you're looking at the Saints schedule, man, there's not a single game where you circle that and say, yes, I expect them to win it.
Yeah. You know, I agree. And you just look at, I'm looking at the schedule a little bit, just out of, you know, they, you know, out of division, you know, is, you know, the thing you're looking at there. They do play the AFC East, which means you get a road game at the Bills. Yikes. You get the Patriots game. You get, you know, you get at least the Patriots are at home. Looking also, you know, you look at some of the other teams on that schedule, they do finish, you know, they get the Titans as their extra AFC game, but it's a road game, you know, even that. And it's, you know, hey, Cam Ward versus right. Tyler Shuck. I'll probably take Cam Ward. So we'll see about that there. All right. Enough about the Saints, because let's face it, you know, one can only take so much Saints talk here. Quick note, over at RotoWire, we've got a brand new look. We've got an even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season. Whether you're using our draft assistant to get real-time insights as you draft or auction, as we are later today on the RotoWire Stake League, customizing your own strategy with the draft plan creator, or testing draft scenarios with the powerful draft simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Head to rotowire.com, enter promo code VSiN at checkout, get 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. We're going to be doing a little bit of rate that prop later on. We're going to do both football and baseball on that. There's news out of Commanders camp. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Brian Robinson not practicing, and it's excused absence by the team. Keep in mind, it was a mutual decision for him not to be active for the Monday night game against the Bengals in the preseason game there. So it seems like he's clearly on the way out there. Bengals right guard Cordell Volson is out for the year with a shoulder injury. That's been the one weak spot in that offensive line. So they're going to have to be in scramble mode there, trying to figure out a replacement there. Rate that prop. Coming up next, this is Prop Points on VSiN.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are from rotowire.com. This is Prop Points here on VSiN, and we just had a home run in the Phillies Mariners game. Max Kepler sends one to the moon. You know, it's been a while since he's kind of chimed in the conversation. So good for Max Kepler. 3-1 now, Phillies in that game over Seattle. And they're in the bottom of the fourth inning. Tigers are up 7-0. Just hit the extra point against the Astros there. They're in the fourth inning. And then Pittsburgh and Toronto still 2-1 in that one here. It's time for another edition of Rate That Prop, where we go through and find, our crack team goes out and finds some of the finest props out there. Wyatt has done that this week, going both with baseball and football. Again, we're going to start off with football today. Going to go head on down to Houston, talk a little Nico Collins, having the most receiving touchdowns in the AFC South, plus 220. Nick, rate that prop.
Yeah, Wyatt Topchak back at it, always picking out some niche props. You know, I haven't really taken a thorough look at these division leader markets, but you can find whatever you want over at the DK Sportsbook. I'm going to give this one a 3 out of 5. I thought about going up to 4, but we're going to hang on here with a 3 out of 5. So that means I would bet it, but it's not necessarily going to be at the top of the card. So last season, Nico Collins, of course, played in only 12 games, had 7 touchdowns in those games. You know, already it, you know, looks decent in the preseason so far. Really, it's about staying healthy, I think, for Nico Collins. And more than anything, this is feeling like a two-man race in the AFC South. It's Nico Collins versus Brian Thomas Jr. Both are priced at plus 220 right now. You look at the rest of the board, and it's like, yeah, Calvin Ridley plus 450. Is there really going to be enough volume? Do you trust Cam Ward that much in year one? I'm not sure I do. I would not bet Travis Hunter at 8-1. I think that's bait. And if you're looking for a long shot, you know, maybe Josh Downs, who we talked a little bit about to begin the show, 30-1. But again, Daniel Jones has never been this high touchdown producer at quarterback. So it feels like it's going to be Nico Collins or it's going to be Brian Thomas. I side with CJ Stroud over Trevor Lawrence. I know they're being drafted similarly now in fantasy leagues, but I think we've seen one significantly better season from CJ Stroud than anything we've seen from Trevor Lawrence throughout his first 4 years in the NFL. There is competition in Houston to some degree. You know, you have Christian Kirk, you have the two rookies, Jalen Nowell and Jaden Higgins. I think they're comfortable with that group of four, But at the same time, Nico Collins is still clearly the alpha. So it's going to come down to, can he play at least 15 or 16 games? You know, Brian Thomas did play the entire season, did finish with more touchdowns than him last season. But I'm taking Nico Collins over Brian Thomas. We will give this a 3 out of 5. It's in play territory.
So you're taking Nico over Brian Thomas Jr. in fantasy drafts too then, right?
More often than not, yeah.
Yeah, I am too. It's close. I think earlier I might have had BTJ over Collins, but the more I've thought about it, the more we've gone through draft season, the more I'm kind of craving a little bit more security. I think Collins' health last year is the one red flag for me. I don't doubt the production, though. So that's where I'm at on that. Let's go with another NFL prop. We're going to go back to the Thursday night game one, week one opener, Eagles, Cowboys, Devonta Smith to have 70-plus receiving yards against said Cowboys, plus 151. Rate that prop.
Another three here. Another three. We're going full Dale Earnhardt mode here. A couple of threes. Right. This is a very meetable number, I think, for Devonta Smith. Now, there are, of course, some concerns here, but we'll dig in on the numbers first. 7 times last year he went over this number, including 2 of his final 3 regular season games. He's gone over this number in 3 of 8 career games against Dallas, which, you know, probability-wise, lines up pretty well with the pricing here. You know, my concern is a potential blowout in week one more than anything. And Philly just, you know, running the ball in the second half, which is something that we saw in both of those Dallas matchups last year. Philly won both games by a combined score of 75-13. You know, certainly you'd expect Dallas to put up a better fight with Dak Prescott out there, but will they have Micah Parsons? Can they stop the Eagles defensively? We will find out. We're going to need some big plays from Devonta Smith in order to get there, because again, he's not a high volume guy. It's not going to be, you know, 9 catches for 75 yards. There's going to be some long ones in there if he's going to hit this number. You know, again, he went over this number in the second meeting with the Dallas Cowboys. He was very quiet in the first meeting at 6 catches for 120 yards. In that game, he had catches of 22, 25, and 49 yards. Dallas secondary, very suspect to me. I think there's enough value here at plus 151. That again, this is in play territory. We will give it a 3. We'll switch over to Major League Baseball props in a moment. But folks, the clock is ticking. Week 0 of college football kicks off this weekend, and the NFL is just weeks away. Now's the time to get VSiN Pro and lock in your edge. New bettors get instant access to both our college football and our NFL betting guides, loaded with team previews, power ratings, betting systems, all the best bets from your favorite VSiN analysts. And that's just the start. With VSiN Pro, you'll also get daily best bet emails from our hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits, market insights you can't find anywhere else, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, plus full access to VSiN.com's tools, data, and pro systems. You can start today for just $9.99, or better yet, save 50% with an annual plan. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, we got 3 baseball games in action. Jeff, give you a quick scoreboard update here. Pirates still leading the Blue Jays 2-1 in the bottom of the 6th. Phillies now up 3-1 on the Seattle Mariners, bottom of the 4th there. Astros put some runs on the board, 7-2 now in favor of the Tigers, about to head to the bottom of the 4th. Let's take a look at some props for the later games tonight, Jeff. We'll start with Ronald Acuna. Just looking for a home run from Acuna, plus 380 going up against the White Sox and Martin Perez.
We'll stick on the uniform number 3 and go Babe Ruth on this one with 3 as our magic number for Ronald Acuna here. This is interesting because there's a lot of indicators anti the home run today for Ronald Acuna Jr. He hasn't hit homered since coming off the IL on Friday. Going up against a pitcher in Martin Perez has 1 homer allowed in 23 innings so far. It's good for preposterous. 3.7 home runs per fly ball, and Perez is a ground ball pitcher generally. Acuna has only hit 2 homers against lefties this year. Perez, on the other hand, though, he's filling in squared, really kind of replaces Sean Burke in the rotation for the White Sox. Also, Aaron Civale was pushed back until Friday, so he's kind of filling in for the fill-in. All kind of pointing towards like, I don't really like this. But then it's Ronald Acuna, and you're getting plus 380 on a Ronald Acuna homer at home. How can you really ding it so much? I'm going to give it a 3. I think there's a lot of countervailing statistics here.
All right, we'll take a 3 to start things off. We'll see if we have even better luck with this one, Jeff. But I can see the number, and I know you may not love this as much. Nonetheless, rate that prop. Aaron Judge to record at least two hits today, plus 205.
Womp, 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 womp. We're going to go one on this one here. Whoa. I know Aaron Judge has had multi-hit games in two of his last three games, but he's played 12 games since returning from the IL. Those are the only two multi-hit games. More importantly, this is a batter versus pitcher scenario here. He's 1-for-9 with 6 strikeouts in his career against Drew Rasmussen, a really good pitcher, generally speaking. And keep in mind, walks are the enemy of this prop, and Judge is likely to get walked more often than pitched around. Even with a red-hot Giancarlo Stanton hitting behind him, you know, it's still unlikely a Judge is just going to get pitched to. So especially with him having two hits in two of the last three games, including last night. So this is a one. I wouldn't bet it. I know the plus 205 is tempting, but just find another prop.
Man, a direct shot across the bow at our producer, Wyatt. A 1 out of 5. From Jeff Erickson, but hard to argue with the numbers on that one, Jeff. All right, let's take a look at the Miami Marlins. They are home for the Cardinals tonight, looking to avoid the sweep. Sandy Alcantara, under 17.5 outs recorded at plus 140.
All right, let's channel our inner Count Von Count and go 1, 2, 3. 3 is our number to count to, folks, boys and girls. 3 again is our number with Sandy Alcantara and this outs recorded. Alcantara has gotten to 18 outs, 7 out of the last 10 games, but he's missed that in 2 out of the last 4. So already we got a little disconnect there. Going up against this Cardinals team that has woken up in the last week, 15 runs the last 2 days, even when they lost 5 games in a row against the Yankees and Rockies before that, they scored 4 or more in 3 of those games, meaning it's hard to get to 18 outs. It's close because he's a horse. He gets there, but he also just... Yeah, this could be a blow up. One other little note on Alcantara. This is a revenge game of sorts. He came up in the Cardinals system. It's the rare bad trade for the St. Louis Cardinals. They traded him in a deal long ago for Marcell Ozuna trade is what it was. And, you know, it's worked out pretty well for the Marlins over the years. This year, obviously, it's been in the exception. Pretty rough season for Alcantara. Pitched much better his last time out, though, against Boston. So interesting spot here. We're going to rate it an even 3.
All right. There we have it. You can find all of our plays every day over at VSiN.com. If you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, like we mentioned, you get that daily email, everybody's picks. It's an extensive email. It's one of those, Jeff, where I have to click the read more button because there are so many picks in that email every single day. But again, highly encourage you to check out all of our picks, check out everything we offer over at VSiN Pro, VSiN.com/subscribe. Tour Championship Week. We have our friend Len Hochberg joining us when we come back. We'll get his favorite DFS plays, his favorite betting values. Coming up next, you're watching Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It's Prop Points here on VSiN, taking you up to the top of the hour. Adam Schein taking over at 3 p.m. Eastern. He's going to have the Prop Queen, Ariel Epstein, joining the show to talk some baseball bets for tonight. We got Follow the Money, Paulie Howard, Matt Eumanns coming your way at 4 p.m. Eastern. Scott Seidenberg at the desk for VSiN Primetime coming up at 7. It's Tour Championship Week in the golf world. We have our friend Len Hochberg, our golf DFS, our golf betting expert over at rotowire.com. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Len, let's start with some overall thoughts on the FedEx Cup and, you know, just how the tour has made some changes over the last couple of years. We're no longer doing the staggered starting positions. I think that's been a relief for most, but it still feels like it's not a perfect format. You know, I was looking through some ideas on Twitter yesterday. Somebody's throwing out, you know, a match play bracket where the top players get buys. I'm sure this is something you've thought about. It's certainly something the PGA is going to continue to think about, continue to tweak in forthcoming years. But how would you like to see the playoffs handled in the PGA Tour?
Well, Nick, good to be with you guys. Yeah, I mean, it's exponentially better this year, getting rid of that starting strokes format. Nothing better in golf than giving Scottie Scheffler strokes to start the tournament. There's actually a joke going around on social media. They should do it the other way. They should take strokes away from him to make it a little bit of a fair fight. But, you know, we still don't have a full-on championship. We still have the points factor, FedEx Cup points, and some guys are better suited to win the overall title, even if you know, they have an edge in that sort of edge. The really the only way to do it is like every other sport, where, you know, you start out the playoffs with the top 70, and then if you don't finish in the top 50 in that first tournament, the FedEx St. Jude, you are out. I mean, you run the risk of, you know, Scottie Scheffler and others being eliminated, and then you go down to the final 30, and then whoever wins in the tour championship would be the champion. That is the ultimate way to do it. Golf so far seems a little bit afraid to do that, to give the possibility of eliminating its stars, but I don't think we have any worry about Scottie Scheffler being eliminated before the top 30.
Len, in addition to giving us some great plays every week, you do maybe an even better job setting the stage, telling us what we need to know about the course. So what do we need to know about East Lake? What type of golfer should we be targeting this week?
Yeah, East Lake, you know, it's always been a sort of mixed bag as the place to end the season. It's just not, you know, an incredible course. It doesn't go down with the Pebble Beaches and the Augusta Nationals on the short list of great courses. But we are here, and they made a lot of changes a year ago. We saw them last year, tried to make the course a little bit tougher, and, you know, and they're, you know, they redid basically top to bottom. One of the things I do like about East Lake, and I do think is good, is that it puts a premium on putting the ball in the fairway. It's a long course. It's par 70. It has narrow fairways. You just can't hit it as wherever you want. You have to get the ball on the fairway. And I think that's always a great starting point for a golf tournament. But other than that, we should see scores. It's not a really tough penal course. We'll see winning score in the mid-teens to the upper teens. So you will have to make some birdies. And one thing I do want to point out, that just like 2 weeks ago at TPC Southwind, the temperatures should be well into the 90s. It should be sweltering. I think it will be fitness will matter this week. If you're not completely fit by come Saturday or Sunday, you're going to be in trouble. But I think ultimately you got to hit the ball straight, get the ball in the fairway, get the ball on the green.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about Scottie Scheffler. He's plus 150. That's preposterous for a tour championship where he's not even getting a stroke advantage here. Is that even bettable? And if not, who's your pivot?
You know, at plus 150, I don't think it's bettable. You're still getting 1.5 times your money, but there's no guarantee. I mean, he won last week. But he had only won one of five tournaments before that. So, you know, even Tiger Woods in his heyday was winning 3 out of 10 tournaments. So I don't think so. And even in the DraftKings universe at DFS pricing at $13,900, I think that's an accurate price. I think it's going to be very hard to put him into a six-man lineup and still field competitive five other guys. I mean, anybody can do anything. It's only a 30-man field. But I think it's a real challenge. We should not forget Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy plus 850. Although interesting, he was plus 800 and has dropped to plus 850. But he's won this tournament three times before, once with Scheffler in 2022, not the real today Scottie Scheffler. And even in 2022, with starting strokes, he won as the low 72. So Rory McIlroy's three wins at East Lake have been as the low 72. I don't think we can exclude him, and he will play on Thursday alongside Scottie Scheffler. That will be really, really interesting to watch.
Len, what are you doing with JJ Spaun this week? 8,100 if you're looking at him in a DFS contest over on DraftKings, 25-1 to win. Is there a way that you're going to work him onto your card?
Yeah, he is one of the guys I like. You know, he won the U.S. Open. you know, guys win majors out of nowhere, and then we don't really hear from them again. But he's continued to play well. He went into a playoff at the FedEx St. Jude with Justin Rose 2 weeks ago. He ended up losing it. But I even think that was a huge, huge confidence build that gave him another, you know, a second situation where he was beating the best golfers in the world, all but one, but he beat Scheffler and everyone else who was in the tournament. And I think there are some similarities with Southwind as a long par 70 where there is a premium on driving accuracy. So I do like him a lot at 8,100. And, you know, if you do put Scottie Scheffler in your lineup at 3,900, I think you have to almost certainly drop almost all the way down to JJ Spahn at 8,100 and then go with sevens and a bunch of sixes to fill out your lineup. But yeah, he's 2,500 to win the tournament plus 320 for a top five. I think that's a decent way to go as well.
Let's talk about a golfer that we don't frequently talk about, Jason Bridgman. I wanted to call him Junior Bridgman, but I'm an old school NBA fan here. You like a little top 10 action on him at plus 330.
Yeah, and I'm exactly the same way. I call him Junior Bridgman, and I'm glad you said you put that in my head because I might have done similarly. Yeah, I mean, he's the Mr. Irrelevant and probably the most anonymous guy in the Tour Championship. Jacob Bridgman's just his second year on tour. He had a pretty good year last year, a bunch of top 25s, but this year he's had some good tournaments, and he has finished in the top 20 of both playoff events, and not many guys can say that. Now, you finishing top 20, yes, it's only a 70-man field or a 50-man field, but he's still beating a lot of good players. And, you know, you're not going to get much on odds for anything outside of a top five, but on Jacob Bridgman, for a top 10, he's at plus 330. He's the second longest odds in the field, just Andrew Novak, worse than him. I don't know if he's going to do it, but if you're looking for something where you get a little bit of bang for your buck, he only has to beat 20 guys.
Len, I have many, many Ryder Cup implication questions. Fortunately, we only have time for one. I'll do Patrick Cantlay because he's a mainstay of this Ryder Cup team in many years. He's not an automatic qualifier this year. In about 45 seconds, can you make the case for him to be on or off the Ryder Cup team?
Yeah, the Europeans hate him, and the European fans hate him, and even a lot of Americans, we won't go there. But yeah, he's a lightning rod, and he really does play well in those situations. And, you know, let's be serious. A guy doesn't have to play well during the tour season, and he can get into this atmosphere and really play well. Plus, his partner, Xander Schauffele, will be on the team. So even though Patrick Cantlay has not played great this season, I think he's pretty much a lock as a captain's pick for Keegan Bradley. I think the Europeans would be very happy if Patrick Cantlay were not on the team.
Len, appreciate the time. As always, man, best of luck in your DFS and betting endeavors this weekend, and we'll have to circle back with you when it's Ryder Cup time.
Thanks so much, guys.
Len Hochberg, everybody. Check out all of his great work for us over at rotowire.com. Just put in that code VSIN, V-S-I-N, 15% off any of our subscriptions at Rotowire. Folks, you could bet the Travers Stakes with First Bet, the official horse racing partner of VSIN. The Travers Stakes is the marquee race of the summer schedule, and you don't want to miss a second of the action. New users over on First Bet can earn up to $250 in bonus cash when they use the exclusive promo code VSIN250 at signup. Whether you're new to betting the ponies or you've been hitting hard with a program calling your ride for years, First Bet is the best place to bet the stakes. Use promo code VSIN250, V-S-I-N-250, to earn up to $250 in bonus cash now at firstbet.com. We'll give you an MLB scoreboard update. We'll give you some best bets for tonight's games coming up next on Prop Point.
Prop Points on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson here, finishing out the show with some best bets in Major League Baseball. We'll have our G-Bank best bets coming your way in just a few minutes. No major changes on the scoreboard right now, Jeff. Three games in action. We're about to head to the top of the eighth out in Pittsburgh. Pirates still clinging to a 2-1 lead over the Toronto Blue Jays. Phillies up 3-1 on Seattle. We're now into the top of the sixth there. 12 hits already for the Philadelphia Phillies. Trey Turner, by the way, staying hot. Couple hits for him. Tigers holding on to a 7-2 lead over the Houston Astros. Bottom of the fifth right now. Two out, one on for the Detroit Tigers. Let's take a look, Jeff, at some of the later games tonight. Cardinals, Marlins. Talked a little bit about this one earlier with regard to Sandy Alcantara. He's going up against Andre Piante. What do you like for Alcantara? What do you like for Piante? I know you're focused in on both pitchers here.
Yeah, I am. And we spent a little bit of time talking about Sandy Alcantara, but it's good to reiterate. He was great in his last start against Boston in Fenway, of all places. Keep in mind, he's got like a road ERA over 8 on the season. Was terrible in the two starts immediately after the trade deadline before that Boston start, however. It's a revenge game for Alcantara, really deep-seated revenge. Did pitch well against the Cardinals last time out, went 5 scoreless innings, got a win against the Cardinals. Cardinals have since woken up lately. They scored 15 runs in the first two games of this series. I like fading both starting pitchers in this one. Andre Piante has won 2 of his last 13 starts, given up 10 runs in his last 2 starts. I know he got 8 strikeouts last time, but he's typically a guy that doesn't get many strikeouts. Also, I like fading both of the pitchers here. I'm going to go over 2.5 earned runs on Alcantara. You get plus 105 on that. And over 2.5 runs on Piante, minus 110. I suppose you could just go the over if you want to go that way. It's over 8.5 total there. Sneaky, the money line on this one is St. Louis plus 104. I'm not going to give that, but I think it's at least an interesting price for at least a team that's at least the equal of Miami.
Yeah, that total, like you said, sitting at 8.5 at DraftKings, minus 110 both ways as we speak. Yankees Rays in the AL East tonight, Jeff. Tampa Bay is slight favorite on the money line. Another total coming in at 8.5. Cam Schlittler taking on Drew Rasmussen. What do you like for the total on this one?
So I think this is going to be a low scoring game. This is the opposite of the Cardinals and the Marlins, in part because of the pitching matchup here. I like Drew Rasmussen a lot. Really good pitcher, 260 ERA. His question always is how deep into the game he can get. And, you know, the Rays bullpen hasn't been rock solid this year. No Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup tonight. Yankees hit 9 homers yesterday. Their homers alone would account for the total in this one here. So why am I going the under in this one? It's because how good Rasmussen is. We talked a little bit about the batter versus pitcher, Aaron Judge versus Rasmussen. 1-for-9, 6 strikeouts against him. Meanwhile, Cam Schlittler has actually pitched pretty well. He's not a guy that goes deep into games, no more than 5 innings in any start yet, but also hasn't allowed more than 3 runs in any start yet. So I think this is a good way to pivot over to the under. I mean, the fact is, the total in this one suggests that it's a pretty good pitching matchup a little bit at only 8.5, given all the scoring that happened in the first game of this series here. You get under 8.5 at minus 105. That's the route I'm taking here.
So the Yankees have won 4 in a row, Jeff. We've talked a lot about this team, you know, kind of slipping in the last couple of weeks, obviously falling into the wild card race in the AL. They currently occupy the top wild card spot, but New York, Seattle, Boston, virtually even right now. Yankees to miss the playoffs, Jeff, is 12-1. They're minus 1,800 to find their way in. Well, would you consider the Yankees to miss the postseason at that number? Maybe the toughest part of this is figuring out, okay, which other team slides in there, whether it's the Royals or the Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, the Guardians and the Rangers in particular have really slid backwards. The Royals have won 5 in a row to get to this point, which means you've probably already missed their hot streak is the way it looks out here. Things have really kind of stabilized for the Yankees. They've gone on this win streak. The Cardinals have come in and saved the day for them a little bit. They've won 4 in a row and, you know, 7 out of their last 10 after a couple of bad streaks. It's a good price. It's a fun price, but the time is a lot shorter now than it was earlier when we were looking at those to make and not make the playoff odds earlier there. I would take like maybe a sprinkle on that Yankees to not make the playoffs there. I would go field instead of just trying to identify the team, whether it's the Royals or the Guardians. Guardians, you would think maybe is the team that's better suited schedule wise, but they've been so disappointing in their last couple, in the last, you know, 10 days. You know, really thought that they had that schedule lined up. They were awful against the Braves this weekend, a team that had been sliding. All of a sudden now they got swept by the Braves. That was a real killer for them.
All right, Jeff, let's take a look at Brewers Cubs. Time for the Brewers to bounce back. Lost both games of the doubleheader yesterday. I've tried to refrain tweeting about the Brewers for most of this run, Jeff. But of course, like 2 days ago, I tweeted out, yeah, Brewers have only lost back-to-back games twice in their last 58. Well, we can now make that three times in the last 61. We're seeing the Cubs as favorites on the, or excuse me, we're seeing Milwaukee as favorites on the money line. -122, that's with Jacob Mizorowski on the hill tonight going up against Colin Ray. I know we got some wind, we got some weather we're concerned about in Chicago. How are you playing this one?
Yeah, it's been nasty weather in your neck of the world, Chicago, Milwaukee, all that. 20-mile-an-hour wind blowing in today. No precipitation, at least. So they've got that going for them. But we know Wrigley Field plays, you know, significantly different with the wind blowing in, and 20 miles an hour is huge. It plays significantly. So I like a lot of the under areas here. Like, for instance, the under on the game itself, it's at 7. That's a tough number, and you're not getting the super best odds. In fact, it's -126 to the under over at DraftKings. Maybe you want to shop around, see if you can get your best price on that one there. You know, if you look, dig a little bit deeper, maybe on the individual pitchers, you could do that a little bit. But I looked over at DraftKings. You have to pay a -155 price for Colin Ray at the under 2.5 earned runs. Maybe you go with an alt pitcher prop earned run line here as a possibility, is maybe a different route to go ahead and take with that one there. Because honestly, -155 is a tough price to pay, because you can get a lot, some bleeders that fall in there. But maybe I think that's the way to go. I'm looking at, and the thing is, yeah, it's tough to find it there. If you find a, yeah, and it's usually you're just finding overs on alt lines. I'm having a hard time finding an under alt line on Colin Ray runs allowed. Maybe that's a sign that I should call the number. I don't know. But anyways, Mizorowski it's at it's at 1.5 too, if you're trying to find an under on that one. After his terrible outing against the Reds on Friday, first start since coming off the IL, you would have thought that maybe there would have been a little bit more caution with his total, but there's not.
It was the mound. It was the mound, Jeff. You're forgetting in Cincinnati that was to blame for that outing, apparently, at least according to the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm glad you brought that up. Sorry, if you don't mind my sidebar here, but pitchers have talked about this before. Zach Gallen was one of those. Arizona beat writers were talking about this, that the Cincinnati mound is significantly lower than other mounds, even though it's supposedly measured and, there's specs that they have to go to there. But we've seen other pitchers complain about it. Reds pitchers don't seem to typically have a problem with that mound height, though. So I think that's interesting.
All right, real quick, Jeff, anything you really like in Dodgers, Rockies, or Giants, Padres?
I'm kind of curious to see how long Shohei Ohtani goes in this game. Can he get to 15 outs? That's something I'm kind of curious about. Going up against Tanner Gordon, who actually defied expectations last time. I think if you look at, it's hard to even find a Tanner Gordon prop there. But if you do, it's over. The over under is 4.5 over a prop at DraftKings for the earned runs. I'll take the over +115 at 4.5 earned runs for Tanner Gordon.
Folks, you can get the GBank Visa Signature Card today, built with sports bettors in mind. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you're using your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means you're not dealing with any cash advance fees. You're saving up to 3-5% on every deposit, and you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. You can apply now at VSIN.com/GBank, VSIN.com/GBank. All right, Jeff, GBank best bet of the night. Where are you taking us today?
We're going to go the over 2.5 earned runs allowed by Sandy Alcantara. We're getting plus money at that. I think he reverts back to form, reverts to his season-long mean of over 2.5 earned runs at +105.
I'm diving into the wins, literally, Jeff, in Chicago. Give me the over 7 at plus money in Brewers Cubs. Yeah, I was doing my weather forecasting earlier this morning. I'm seeing like 10 to 12 mile per hour winds. We could deal with that. Like you said, Mizorowski, a little shaky those last couple of starts. We'll see what we get out of Colin Ray. Brewers have been hitting the ball hard in this series. Got some bad breaks yesterday. They're not a home run reliant team when it comes to putting up runs. So I know we got the win coming in, but still looking at this as a low enough number where I will take the over 7 for Brewers Cubs. That's going to wrap today's edition of Prop Points. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming your way next here on VSiN. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon live from Las Vegas, Circa Contest weekend. Can't wait to get out there. We'll see you tomorrow.